This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, thank you for joining in on the effort because we need all hands on deck if we're going to get this country back on track. We definitely have come a long way in the first year of one Donald Trump. You know, forget about all the fake news and what people are doing. Look at, you know, and I think it's kind of like when we were talking with the former congressman, you know, Bob Beaupre. Imagine what a year a progressive agenda, an additional one-year progressive agenda after 8 years of Barack Obama, what a Clinton administration agenda and what America would be looking like under Hillary Clinton a year afterwards like we're doing now. We're going to talk about Alan Dershowitz in just a moment, but this bulletin just came across that NBC has removed the tweet that drew reference to Oprah Winfrey as our next president. According to Brian Floyd with FoxNews.com, NBC apparently forgot it has a news division on Sunday night when it campaigned for Oprah to run for president. But on Monday, the network blamed a third party for an errant tweet backing the TV talk show queen's supposed 2020 ambitions. Well, I guess that goes her, you know, there goes the fundraising for Oprah for 2020. Oops, I guess we made a mistake. Well, liberals are beside themselves over Alan Dershowitz, you know, reasonable approach to the conversation about one Donald Trump and the political environment. They, you know, they don't like the idea that he's not pigpiling with all the other Dems, claiming that Trump is mentally ill. Listen to this one.
Professor, I know that you're really concerned right now about this talk with the left as well as the mainstream media about the mental stability of President Trump. You've spoken about the dangers of the special counsel investigation. We have so many critics saying that President Trump is, you know, a danger to society. We have a constitutional crisis. But doesn't this sort of talk have a destabilizing effect?
Well, it's very dangerous. You know, there's only one thing worse than trying to criminalize political differences, and that's trying to psychiatrize them. Psychiatrists now who are trying to diagnose without ever having met the man. That's what they did in Russia. I represented dissidents who they locked up in mental hospitals. That's what they did in China. That's what they did in apartheid South Africa. How dare liberals, people on the left, try to undo democracy by accusing a president of being mentally ill without any basis. Look, the 25th Amendment doesn't apply. Everybody knew who Donald Trump was when they elected him. I didn't vote for him. I voted against him. People voted for him. But he hasn't changed in office. And this idea of diagnosing him instead of opposing him politically poses an enormous danger.
Well, he's arguably one of the most vetted candidates to ever run for office in public life. The left went after him. But the president, he's even pointed out himself, this is not the first time the left has gone at Republicans. They did the same thing to Barry Goldwater. They did the same thing to Ronald Reagan.
Right.
What is it about Republican presidents that leads the left to say, we don't just disagree with your policies, you must be crazy?
Well, you know, I think over 1,000 psychiatrists diagnosed Barry Goldwater and said he was mentally ill. They were then rebuked by the American Psychiatric Association and said, do not make diagnoses without seeing the patient. Mm. And they continue to do it today. Look, about Ronald Reagan, they had a point. He was perhaps beginning to develop Alzheimer's. We have a 25th Amendment for that. But the 25th Amendment is not supposed to be invoked if you don't like somebody's politics or you don't like his style. Vote against them. The 25th Amendment requires the vice president to invoke this, and then it requires two-thirds of both houses. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. It's so designed for people who are totally incompetent, not people who you disagree with.
Well, Alan Dershowitz, of course, really upsetting liberals because, you know, he's bringing reason into play here. And he's one that believes that you know, we should debate these issues and be able to talk about it, not invalidate somebody with some sort of false claim. Of course, Donald Trump says he's a very stable genius when you consider his history. I believe he's right.
Message and data rates may apply.
Oh, my gosh. That's Frank Thomas.
No.
Yes, that's him. Go ahead.
Excuse me. Are you Frank Thomas?
Yes, I am.
I bet you get recognized a lot.
I was a pretty good ball player.
You were?
Some people thought so.
Sorry, we recognize you from those Nugenics commercials.
Oh, yeah? That's great.
So does Nugenics really work?
Oh, yeah. I really can feel the difference. My workouts are better, and I feel a lot more energetic.
I wish my husband would use Nugenics.
It's so easy to get started. All you have to do is send one simple text.
Text the word PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenics, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And you're going to like the difference, too.
Text PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of Nugenics. Samples are not available in stores. Text PRIME44 to 42424.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you go to BillMartinezLive.com. It's all right there. Good to have you along with us to talk about a topic that is like that 800,000-pound gorilla in the room that people keep stepping over whenever we talk about our budget, $20 trillion in debt. Every once in a while, you hear politicians talk about, oh, we've got to do something about entitlements, about the welfare system. And our guest, Lisa Conyers, is back with us. You may recall we spoke with her, I guess, about a year ago about the human cost of welfare in her book. She is an author, a consultant, a policy analyst. Lisa Conyers, good to have you back with us. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on again.
Well, coming up here, there's going to be a world release, you know, that really complements your book in an excellent way. It's going to be released on Monday, January the 8th, on the World Channel of Public TV stations nationwide. Tell us about that, if you would.
So the documentary is coming from Free to Choose Network, and it'll be airing nationwide on PBS. And the title of it is Work and Happiness, The Human Cost of Welfare. And it's based on the work that we did in the book, The Human Cost of Welfare, and looks at the welfare system as it is today and how it impacts the people who are actually participating and involved in the system as recipients.
Well, I had a chance to screen it several days ago, and I thought, you know, Johan Norberg and company did an excellent job in presenting the case. I mean, this has been a big problem here. I mean, we've spent trillions of dollars on the war on poverty, and that's just from 1964. That's not even going back to FDR. But since 64, something like $22 trillion. At that time, President Johnson had estimated our poverty level was about 15%. And here it is all these years later, $22 trillion invested, and now we're at 15.1%. That in sheer numbers tells you that something is wrong.
Oh, that's right. And essentially we haven't won the war on poverty at all. And I think that, you know, maybe language has something to do with it. I mean, rather than launching a war on poverty, we should be launching a war for work, you know.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
getting people out of welfare and out of poverty and into the workforce is really the key, because you don't get out of poverty by going on welfare. You get out of poverty by going to work. And that's the focus of our book and the documentary, is looking at, you know, why work is so important and why we should be getting people back to work.
And what you and I talked about a year ago, Lisa, was the human dignity
of work, happiness associated with work, productivity. You know, to look at what was shown in the documentary, the lives of these four families, four different families, the stories that they had to share, it's heartbreaking. But at the very core of it is their own human dignity.
Indeed. And, you know, that's something that a lot of that sort of touchy-feely stuff gets lost sometimes in policy debates when we're just looking at numbers. And that's what was so important to us in doing this work, was to show the impact of these programs on the actual recipients and saying, look, what are we doing to people when we tell them not to work, when we tell them that work is risky, when we say, oh, if you go to work, we're going to, you know, you're going to be in trouble. Rather than saying, hey, we want to get you to a point where you have a, you know, fulfilling job and you feel like you're a contributing member of your family and supporting your community. And, you know, we all want to pursue happiness. We want to self-actualize. We want to feel like we made a difference in our family's lives and our community's lives. And, I think that that's something that the policy world needs to focus on a lot more. Especially when we have such control over the people who are on welfare, you know, we should really be trying to give them that control and agency back over their lives.
Mm. Well, it has to be tough for you as a policy analyst. I imagine you must wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and hear chalk hitting the chalkboard in the wrong direction when you look at policy that just for some reason is not working. And it's not that it's just not working, you know, after a couple of years. I mean, this has been going on for decades. And you think, okay, come on, we're better than this. Why are we continuing to do these things that violate basic principles, like one of the greatest management principles, that is that people will do that which they get rewarded for. And we've institutionalized a system that rewards people for all the wrong behavior. And then we wonder why we get the wrong results.
Exactly. And I mean, you really nailed it on the head there with the, you know, incentives are just so incredibly important. And, you know, you can incentivize all kinds of good behavior and bad behavior. And we seem to have incentivized really bad behavior for a long time. And that's why I think I would love for welfare reform to happen and to be involved in it and to sort of, you know, tweak these programs to make the incentives work towards getting people into self-sufficiency instead of these incentives to stay on the programs, because that's the way it is right now, is that you're incentivized to stay. You know, you're threatened if you leave. You know, you're threatened with loss of benefits and, you know, and yet you're told, you know, if you just stay where you are, just stay on the food stamps and on public housing or whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. we'll keep doing it. Yeah. We'll keep giving it to you. So it is frustrating to look at. But, you know, there have been in the past attempts at welfare reform. The 96 welfare reforms were actually a good step in the right direction. They were very work-oriented. But sadly, those have, you know, largely fallen by the wayside. And so there is hope. You know, I'd like to see reform happen again.
Well, when we have positive things that happen, as you say, like in 96, even with FDR, I mean, you look back initially, and up until 1964, as was documented in this documentary, that welfare wasn't the big monolith that it has become. I mean, it was there, but was holding steady. But after 1964, with LBJ and the Great Society, it went off the rails. What happened?
Yeah, and it's interesting because the war on poverty was started, you know, because of the shocking, you know, statistics about the poverty numbers in this country, but the numbers had already dropped before the war on poverty started. So we were already trending in the right direction, and then the war on poverty actually seems to have stopped that momentum in its tracks and sort of said, oh, well, okay, we've got 15% poverty, we just want to stay right here. And I think, you know, the problem with, I mean, many government programs is that they tend to grow. You don't, I mean, I can't think off the top of my head of any that have shrunk in my lifetime. And there just seems to be this momentum towards growth when you're looking at things that are provided by the government. And, you know, you don't get bonuses at work in the government for shrinking your budget year on, you know.
Exactly.
You're always trying to get a bigger budget and more staff. So I think that that's part of the issue. And again, that's something that could be incentivized. If we incentivize social workers to get people off of welfare and into work, you know, if they got, instead of bonuses for how many people, you can sign up for food stamps, which is what has happened in the past, give them bonuses for how many people they get off of food stamps and into the workplace. That would be a start.
Again, we go back to that. We go back to that problem we talked about earlier, and that is people do that. Will do that, which they get rewarded for, and we're incentivizing all the wrong behavior. We're talking with Lisa Conyers, the author and consultant, policy analyst, author of the book The Human Cost of Welfare, and we're talking about this new documentary, Work and Happiness: The Human Cost of Welfare. More from Lisa on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in people over 55, but with treatment it can be slowed down, stopped, and in some cases reversed. Make sure you see your grandchildren grow. Protect your vision by requesting information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD, or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information, or again, call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered, from business deals gone wrong to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771, 800-831-0771, or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hey, D.C., there's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Lisa Conyers is with us. We're talking about the about work and happiness, the human cost of welfare, that 800,000-pound gorilla in the room. That, Lisa, How much courage is it going to take? Donald Trump is talking of having enough political capital to maybe take this on, but I don't know that there's enough courage on the Beltway to really deal with this, because this has to be a bipartisan effort. And as you've suggested, and you are the policy analyst and expert, from an outside observer, I would say that this thing is being manipulated in, you know, for all the wrong political reasons. And this is what's frustrating for people like myself who look at welfare and look at the human element of this, and which is expressed, I think, very effectively with these four stories in this documentary. I mean, we're talking real people, real lives, and real problems that basically it looks like our government has institutionalized.
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as the partisanship, you know, getting back to the 1996 welfare reforms, those were bipartisan. So I think it can be done, but in that era, there was less partisanship than there is now, certainly. I did have hopeful moments last year. I served on an advisory panel for a poverty summit that was hosted by Paul Ryan, and several of the Republican presidential candidates came and to a summit and spent a day talking about poverty and welfare issues, and they all had good ideas, and I thought, oh, okay, here we go. You know, this is going to be our time to work and focus on that. And then, you know, now we're in a very different political climate, but I still would like to believe that there's, you know, opportunity for change. The one thing that I'm hoping that our work does, if we are able to influence, you know, the thinking on this at all, and it's changed minds of people I've talked to personally on the radio and whatever context, is if you look at it from the recipient's point of view, you know, the policy people often get tied up in budgets and numbers and data and all that, but these stories that are in the documentary, the people I interviewed for the book, it puts a really human face on the issue, and
exactly.
I'm hopeful that if you look at it from that perspective, like, oh, what are we doing? These are actual real people. We have to look them in the eye. We have to think about their actual, like, this touchy-feely human happiness component. It really shifts the conversation, and it gets it away from the partisanship, because everybody can agree that we all want each other to be happy and, you know, on the path of success and self-actualization. And that's not partisan. I mean, everybody wants to be happier and, you know, successful.
And without a doubt, and I believe that goes hand in hand. And this is my point, and this is, I guess, what frustrates me as I look back. And of course, anecdotally, it was expressed that during Lyndon Baines Johnson's administration, the motivation was more about votes than it was about people, sadly. And I didn't hear that directly from the president. This has just been reported time and again. So I don't know if it's accepted fact, but if it is, that's sad. And maybe probably one of the reasons why this thing is, you know, in the mess that it's in. But today, Lisa, we have an opportunity to do something about it, to put these real faces and these real stories in front of votes and say, look, it for all the money that we, the people, are putting forth in this, that want to do right by people, by, you know, giving them a hand up and not a hand out. And, you know, let's get this thing squared away, and there should be a high sense of urgency, because we're not talking about numbers here. We're talking about, as you say, real people, real lives.
Indeed. And I think that, you know, when I went around the country talking to people, that was what they said, is they said they didn't want this life. They didn't want to be in that situation. And I think, and they, when they talk to me, they say, you know, you're the first person who's ever asked me how I felt about it, you know, not just, well, you should be grateful for the help, you know, if you're hearing from one side of the aisle, or are we giving you enough and what else can we do for you? But nobody ever asked me, like, how I feel, and I don't feel good, you know, I don't feel, I've given up hope. I heard that a lot, you know, I've given up hope that I'm ever going to be part of the American dream, you know, and that's sad to hear.
That
and
is
I think,
sad.
The more we can humanize it, the better or more likely we are to be able to, you know, maybe step back from our, you know, opinions and partisanship and do something. And that's what I hope that this work will bring, you know, into that conversation.
Lisa, what I sense, I don't know if you do as well in talking to people, we're getting a little bit of a snapshot of it right now, because the last 10 years, I saw a lot of frustration. People just eager to be productive, and they were frustrated because they couldn't. They were just kind of left on the sidelines. And at the mere opportunity and hope that there could be that possibility, look what is happening with the economy, with the job and unemployment levels. It is going crazy in a very positive way. And I sense the same thing could happen with people who are on welfare. If we give them a fair chance to go out there and be successful, all this pent-up energy and this potential GDP that could naturally break out from it could be a win-win opportunity for all concerned. But I'm not confident, sadly, I'm not confident that the government has the wherewithal to solve the problem.
Right. And the problem is that, whenever you ask the government to solve a problem, it's not necessarily, you're not going to get the result that you want. And that's the thing, is that it will reduce the size of government, you know, and they're not eager to be smaller. And it will, you know, if people are dependent on these programs, all of a sudden, you know, you've lost control of them. They've got their agency back. So there are, you know, reasons why the government doesn't want it to change, but that doesn't make it right. And
exactly.
I think that, you know, as Americans, you know, we do have the right to say, and I met a lot of people on welfare, especially men on welfare, who were just devastated by what it did to their, you know, sense of self-esteem and,
sure.
And you know, they weren't able to provide for their children, and they were, you know, and it does weird things to families where it tells you not to get married because you get more benefits if you stay single than if you marry the mother of your child. It's just some really strange stuff that goes on with it. And so I think the more we can remove, you know, the government's involvement in people's lives, the better off we'll all be in the long run, certainly. You're right. I mean, it is going to be really hard.
Is this a regulation issue where we could possibly minimize some of these regulations and promote more of these companies like the one that was shown in the documentary that just went out and gave opportunities to men to pick up a trash can and a shovel and a broom and just go out there and earn their way? I mean, to begin to get back on track, because this is something that is generational, and it's kind of like gaining weight. You know, you realize, oh my goodness, I got 30 pounds extra here I've been carrying. I'm going to address it. It's not going to happen overnight. But this is a generational issue. But we, at some point, we have to have the courage and the intestinal fortitude to say, okay, we're going to attack this one way or another, with or without the government. But my gut is to say that we have to do it with a minimal amount of government interference, because as you say, and as Ronald Reagan said, government bureaucracy is about the closest thing to eternal life this side of heaven.
Yeah. Well, I think that you bring up a really good point with regulations in general, because they're, you know, I think it's 1 in 3 jobs now in America require some kind of license or, you know, a certificate in order to get the job. And one of the biggest impediments to starting new businesses is all the rules and regulations. And, you know, it's daunting to people now.
Exactly.
We don't have that sort of growth that we would have if there weren't so many rules. I run into this all the time with a new project I'm working on, looking at regulation of employment, and it's pretty stunning. I mean, I meet people who won't hire more workers because there's so much paperwork required, they just don't want to deal with it, you know.
Exactly.
And I meet people who have walked away from starting a new business because it was just the paperwork was overwhelming. They would have hired somebody just to do that. So
exactly.
I think that is certainly a part of it in our economy, and that's new. I mean, that's pretty recent development. So that is a part of it. And then, you know, just I think that when you look at the minutiae of the rules of the welfare system and how easy it is to get tripped up on them, you can see why people give up.
Exactly.
You know, they just feel like, you know, that program's telling me this, that program's telling me that. They're all telling me if I earn $1 over, you know, I'm off the rolls. And people just say, forget it. I just can't. I can't fight the government. I can't win. And that's unfortunate.
Well, we have to leave it there. Lisa, always good to have you here on the show. Appreciate the insight. Looking forward to seeing the release of this documentary nationwide, which will roll out on Monday, January the 8th, on the World Channel of Public TV stations nationwide. You can check your TV listings for the day and time in your area. Lisa Conyers, I'm Bill Martinez. Thank you, Lisa.
Medicare rules are confusing. They should be. There are over 130,000 pages of regulations. There's Part A through D, Medicare Advantage, and Medigap. According to the CMS, there are government programs available that can help you pay for your medical expenses. Choosing the right Medicare plan is a really big deal. The wrong choice can cost you a lot of money, and the right choice can put more money in your pocket. Call one of our licensed representatives today. At 65 plus Medicare, our free service can show you a plan that will maximize your Medicare benefits, ensure you are taking advantage of all available government assistant programs, and save you money. Plus, call right now and get a free report on how to avoid costly Medicare mistakes. Call now.
855-301-5506. 855-301-5506. 855-301-5506. That's 855-301-5506.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan," and in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Every single day, promoting truth. Bill Martinez, live. Live.
You know, I'll tell you, this song is so appropriate and ties in perfectly with our next guest, is that, you know, it's the voice that you listen to. Do you listen to the one who created you, or do you listen to that voice that even echoes from the Garden of Eden to this day that says, "Did God really say?" Jacqueline Avira Eloff is with us. She is a senior advisor at Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. We're talking Joel Osteen's church. And her new book that she has written is Empowering and Uplifting. It is titled, What If You Could Find Faith in the Face of Fear? Jacqueline, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Hey, great to have you here to talk about this, especially in a cultural environment right now that is very adversarial, very judgmental, and very indicting, And if you don't go along with the common knowledge and impression of man today, you're quickly invalidated and told that you're not of any value. And along with that goes the dreams, the ambitions, and the things that faith richly rewards.
Yes, I mean, if you're talking about the voices that are always coming against you, telling you you're not good enough or you don't know enough, those are the things that we fight off when we stand in faith. God has given us a divine nature. He created us to be in His likeness. Mm-hmm. And when we stand in faith, when we know His authority in us, is when we can overcome those voices and be truly who we are called to be, instead of, kind of depending on other people's opinions of ourselves. That's just shifting sand. Mm-hmm. God's position is much stronger. It's built on solid rock.
Exactly. Well, Jacqueline, you bring up something very powerful, and that is that we have a position of authority. And the one who has put us in that position of authority is the creator of this world, the very God, Almighty God, that many people would challenge today, but yet people of faith know. And if you can catch that concept, that the authority has been transferred to you to be all you can be, He knows the end from the beginning. He's given us a plan and purpose. And that very thing that wakes us up at 3 o'clock in the morning and says, should I, could I, would I, and keeps us up all night long are the very things. It's the intentions of God that cheers that come from heaven that says, yes, you can.
Yeah. And there's so many promises in the Bible. If you read His scripture, He tells us very plainly, and I think it's been translated into, the least common denominator so that people can understand, but I think it's diluted the true nature of what God is saying to us. So I address that in my book quite a bit about what is God saying to us when He talks about having faith, what He says about us when He says, that you are my creation, and when Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father, and when you take the Holy Spirit, you also take the power and authority that God has put inside of you and are able to manifest it in this life. So there are lots of ways that we misinterpret what He's saying, mm-hmm. but the takeaway is faith is everything. If you trust in God, if you have a relationship with God where you turn to Him and ask Him for advice and counsel and wisdom, then the likelihood is that you're going to make good decisions that have good outcomes rather than the other way around.
And Jacqueline, in your book, you're basically warning everybody that with faith comes fear. You're not going to have one with the other without the other. It is that dynamic tension that exists on this earthly plane for a godly reason. Again, which you mentioned, the Word of God says all things work together for good. And that is the thing that we need to be encouraged by, is that when you exercise faith, then fear is going to raise its ugly head. But so now the choice is, what are you going to do about fear?
Exactly. Well, right from the very beginning, we got it wrong. We were in the Garden of Eden, having a relationship with God, walking with God, and, being spiritual beings. And, as teenagers, probably, they thought they knew better and decided to take matters into their own hands. Well, as soon as they did that, they realized, uh-oh, we got it wrong.
Exactly.
And God looked for them, and the first thing He said to them is, why are you hiding? And they said, because we were fearful. Already, that's the sin. Fear is the sin. We cannot operate in God's authority if we operate in fear. So you've got to turn away from that fear, which is the natural realm of this earth, to something that's more supernatural, that's more God-given, and that would be faith. And faith is another word for relationship with God.
Well, I like that old acrostic of fear. I don't know whoever came up with it, but it was absolutely genius, maybe revelatory. And that is fear, false evidence appearing real. And that's what makes fear so dangerous, doesn't it? Because it does appear real.
Exactly. And it also manifests in different ways. You may think, oh, I'm not fearful. I don't, you know, I'm not afraid of anything. But it might come out as anger. It might come out because, you know, you're trying to mask being weak. So you come out as aggressive and angry. It may come out as depression because you feel you can't control anything in your life. So, you know, gosh, you're at the will and whim of everything. It comes out as anxiety and worry because, again, you don't know how to handle it. You feel powerless. But when you operate in faith, all of that minimizes. It's not, like you said, it doesn't go away because we live in a fallen world, but it changes the dynamic. You can identify things in your life and go, okay, why am I fearful of this? What is the unnatural outcome of that, and how can I make it the natural outcome of a good outcome with God's authority, with God's faith, with God's empowerment in our lives? And to do that, you have to stand on the Word of God. You have to know what the Bible says about you. You have to have a relationship with God. It's not like, you know, you make a wish and you blow out the candle and you hope that something will come along. You know, it's not fairy dust. God's not going to come and say, sprinkle good things on you just because, you know, you hoped for something. Faith is a tangible, actual gift from God that you can assert in your life every day.
Mm-hmm. You just said something that I'm hoping our audience caught what you said, and that is that, you know, you decide where you want to live. Are you going to live in faith? Are you going to live in fear? If you live in the building of fear, then what comes with it is everything associated with fear. People, the environment, your perceptions. If you're going to live in faith, the same thing. You're going to perceive your worldview is your North Star becomes faith as opposed to fear. And so you will draw those things that are associated with faith or fear depending on which building you decide to build.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. I mean, and it's not something that you can flip a switch and all of a sudden you have all this faith. You have to, like a good workout, you have to work on it every day. I mean, if you look at David in the Bible, you know, we usually see him in front of the giant with a rock and, you know, he's defending God's honor. And then all of a sudden he becomes this king, this fabulous, you know, wonderful king. But what if you go in and read Samuel and read the Psalms, you get an understanding of who he was, of his character. He sought God in everything he did. He would not make a move without God, without praying to God, without seeking God's will for his life. And he was training for that moment in front of Goliath when he was tending his sheep. He was out in the field by himself, praying to God, realizing what God was saying to him, and building up his spiritual faith and his spiritual tools.
Exactly.
And, you know, he protected his flock.
Right.
So when he stood...
Well, Jacqueline, I got to hit the pause button real quick because we got to go to break. We've got more from Jacqueline Vera Eloff after this. Stay with us.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you. And you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347. If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
Hi, I'm Rick Osick, president of Famous Footwear. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time. But some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why Famous Footwear supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Would it be okay if you had two paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you? Bill Martinez, live.
Oh, no doubt there's a grand future, but today is today, and it is the present, and I guess that's why it is a present. And that's why it's called such. Jacqueline Vera Eloff is with us. Her book, What If You Could? Find Faith in the Face of Fear. She is a senior advisor at Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. Jacqueline, let me ask you just a little bit off the topic here, off your book for a moment. Is how did you get involved with Joel Osteen?
I married my husband.
It's all his fault, huh? It's that husband you gave me. where have we heard that before?
That's right. No, yeah. he happens to be Victoria's brother. Oh. So I married into the family.
Well, good fun. Well, lucky for him because he gets you. I mean, you know, how much of a bonus is that, right?
Right. Well, we're very blessed. This ministry is an amazing outreach. In the world, and you know, I would have never thought God would have a calling on my life like this, but because, you know, and I talk about it in my book, because of the steps that I have followed and the willingness to go where He leads me, He has put me in such amazing positions, and this one is really more special than anything, and I've had some pretty good ones along the way.
Well, you talk about a sphere of influence. We all have a sphere of influence, beginning with our immediate families, and for you, God has definitely stretched out your tent pegs, and even more so now with this book that is going to be quite the encouragement for people who, you know, for a moment, if they can draw a pause and wonder, you know, what if they weren't afraid of other people's opinions, they weren't afraid of failing, weren't afraid of the cost, what would their life be like? And as you mentioned with King David, and even for yourself, life is a process, and God is faithful to his call. You know, just as God, you know, took David through a process, and not to say that David was perfect, because we know, you know, clearly the Bible cites that, hey, he's just one of us, you know, and knuckleheads, you know, that make mistakes, and, you know, got himself with another man's wife, got himself in trouble there, wasn't necessarily the most perfect father, had a son that wanted to take over, you know, his position of authority. You know, and so we read the stories and realize that, you know, God uses normal, everyday people like you and me.
Oh, exactly. Most of the heroes in the Bible are not perfect people. They have flaws and imperfections and downfalls just like we do. But it's what you do in those circumstances that really changes the measure of the person.
Exactly.
If you succumb to them and go to your base instincts, then you've lost sight of what God has for you. God wants you to seek him. He will never turn away from you. It's only us that turn away from him because we feel unworthy. Mm-hmm. And he says, come just as you are, and I will give you shelter. I will give you comfort. I will give you peace and joy. And, you know, that's a marvelous promise to stand on. God is a wonderful father. You know, he gave us his son to show us how to navigate that path, and the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to give us courage and you know, and gumption. So it's really us that have to turn towards him and accept his gifts and his talents in our lives.
In giving his son, it was a confirmation that we were to be assured that we're not left alone. Because for many years in the history of man, many people believed that, you know, God didn't exist, that they had to make do on their own. And this is, as you say, when you read the Bible and you read the stories of normal, everyday human beings just like us, you know, I know sometimes I shock my friends when, you know, I tell them that I'm a butt Christian, and they go, a butt Christian, what do you mean? And I said, well, because in the Bible, when it goes through all these bad stories and everything like that, it says, but God,
exactly.
You know, right?
Exactly.
So I just tell people, well, I'm a butt Christian. They go, okay, you know, whatever that means. And then you explain to them, they go, oh, okay, well, me too. I'm a butt God Christian too, so it's okay.
Right. That's one of Dodie's favorites, but God. Amen.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly, and here it is. You know, once again, he comes to the call. But in your book, you're dealing with this natural human instinct that came with the fall. As you say, it started right there when in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve suddenly found themselves fearful. And from that day forward, that has been part of our legacy and part of what we have to overcome. And God did not leave us defenseless. He gave us his Son and the Holy Spirit that resides in us to help us navigate our way back home. And in the meanwhile, to be glued to that North Star, that even when we lose, you know, we lose vision of that, Jacqueline, that we're able to humbly come before a loving and forgiving God that will say, hey, it's okay.
Well, and we also have to remember that this is a temporary situation.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, we face things that we don't understand why they're happening, why there's illness, why there's, you know, why a loved one is taken away suddenly. And, you know, that's part of living in this broken world. But if we turn to God, he is our comforter. He is our supplier. He will give us the strength and the fortitude to get through those situations. And, you know, he has a much, much better gift for us on the other side, and that's eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
you know, living in heaven with God is a full array of things to come. I mean, if you look at what he created for us in the Garden of Eden before it became fallen, then you can understand some of what may be awaiting us when we pass over to the other side. You know, it's I did a lecture to the women's ministry one time, and I called it "Where Do You Go to Live When You Die?" And I listed all the promises of God of what he has for us. You know, one of the things he says to us is that he goes to prepare a place for us. There are mansions in heaven that he's created. What those mansions look like, you know, is, I hope they're fantastic and they're on the beach somewhere, but everybody has their own version of that.
Right, exactly.
But what he's saying is to us is...
My wife is looking forward to a penthouse suite. She says that she's deserving of that. I say, well, yeah, you probably are.
Good.
Yeah, so she's up in the penthouse suite. So she's up there, you know.
So, yeah, we all have this wonderful version of where we're going to live in eternity. Mm. But there are works. You know, we're there to do works. We're there to live in a world that he's created for us that's more spectacular and more beautiful and more creative than this world. I mean, we will be creators in that world. What, you know, he says the power of life is in your tongue, in your mouth, and you can, you know, you can speak things into being. Well, here, you know, we have barriers, you know, but in heaven there are no barriers. We are able to do what he has called us to do. We are his full creation in heaven. So, you know, sometimes we despair for what we're losing here on earth, and we have to keep in mind this is a temporary state, that we have to go forward and look to the eternal life that we're going to live if we have relationship with God.
Well, the initial command to his creation was to be fruitful and multiply. I can't believe that God would command us to do that and not empower us to do that.
Right.
And we realize when we're most happiest is when we are being productive, right?
Right. I mean, if you think about it, everything that surrounds you, everything that that's been man-made has been a thought first.
Hmm.
Somebody had to have thought about how to address that problem, that issue, you know, whether it's a penthouse suite or a beach house. Somebody had to think about the architecture for that, and
exactly.
All, you know, Apple and Nike and all of those people, those were first thoughts in somebody's head about how to do something better. And that tells me that God has given us an enormous ability to create, not just tangible things, but intangible things as well. So what you create in your life towards other people, you know, goodwill, love, appreciation, forgiveness, all of those things are thoughts that you have in order to be able to execute them in your life.
Jack, let me ask you, do you sense that we're entering an era of renewed courage? I just sense this. I see this coming over the horizon where, you know, as you're suggesting, not necessarily new thoughts, but maybe renewed thoughts, renewed ambitions, renewed ideas that are coming from, you know, the Father that says now is the time and season. For some reason, I just sense this is coming into play now.
I do. I mean, I wrote this book, and maybe it's because I'm hyper aware of the word, but all of a sudden, faith conquers fear is a message that's been resonating with pastors around the world. It seems like, you know, and I believe that God is preparing us for what's coming, and he's getting that message out to as many people as will listen. If you stand in faith with me, you can accomplish everything that you are called to do, and that can change the world. If we just hide in our, you know, bedrooms and pull the covers over our head, nothing is going to change.
And as you say in your book, that we'll find freedom, joy, and comfort through faith. She is an advisor to Joel Osteen, Jacqueline Vera Eloff, her brand new book, What If You Could, linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Jacqueline, thank you so much. God bless.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Water is the...